Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining us now is the president and CEO of the New York Hall of Science, Margaret Honey. She's here to talk about STEM learning. That stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. It's great to be back.
So we want you to have this conversation for a couple of different reasons. First, did you see that New York Times article over the weekend about why the U.S. is losing out on producing Apple products like iPhones? It's because we don't have enough skilled engineers in this country, among other things. President Obama is worried about that. We may hear about it in the State of the Union speech. Here he is in October.
Right now, unfortunately, barely more than 1 in 10 of all undergraduate students are enrolled in what we call the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math, areas that will be critical if America is going to compete for the jobs of the future.
So the president in October, we'll see what he does tonight on that. We also had a conversation on this show last week about the controversy over a new collection of Legos, of all things, for girls, the so-called pink Legos. Here's our guest, Professor Deborah Tolman from last week, talking about the problem as she sees it with pink Legos.
An outdoor bakery, a fashion design studio, a stage, a treehouse, a cool convertible, a house, a splash pool, a cafe. This is what they're putting out there for girls to enhance their sense that this is what they should be doing. This is how they should be playing. This is, in fact, what they should be building. Not throw it to the wind and have a pile of Legos and see what you can do with them. But this very, very narrow idea of what it is that girls would find fun. Right. And surprise, surprise, after many, many years of being marketed to in this way, that is what girls are doing.
So, Margaret Honey, president and CEO of the New York Hall of Science in Queens, many an engineer, including a few people who called or commented on our segment last week, cite playing with Legos as their original inspiration, pinkifying them, either undermining their educational capacity or drawing girls into engineering, especially where they're underrepresented, because pink is attractive to girls, one side or the other. So what do you make of either side of that argument?
Well, I think that Deborah Tolman's point is that it's the problem resides not in the pinkness of Legos, but it resides in how the product is being marketed. So the idea that kids are encouraged to shop or do makeovers or fashion shows, sort of very stereotypically girl things. But the larger point she's making is that rather than opening up the box of imagination, it constrains what it is girls are engaging with and sort of reinforces stereotypes. And I think, you know, what we try to do in our programming at the New York Hall of Science is we try to create the broadest possible entry for all kids so that we're kind of unlocking the code of complicated science and engaging in interesting ways.
How much of STEM learning has moved out of the schools? Is it that nonprofits like yours and others, like after-school programs and things like that, and you run some, are picking up the slack? Similar to arts education, it's moved outside of public schools to the nonprofit realm because of cutbacks and such?
Right. Well, it's a combination of cutbacks, and one of the unintended consequences of No Child Left Behind is that it's testing only in mathematics and English language arts learning, for the most part, testing every grade level. And there's plenty of research out that shows science isn't being taught anymore at the elementary grades. So, yes, parents and community groups and others are increasingly turning to organizations like the New York Hall of Science to offer programming that will get kids engaged and interested in science learning.
You clearly believe that inspiring young kids is important in developing our nation's future scientists and engineers. That's what your organization does. The last time you were on the show, it was to talk about the Maker Faire, which you host and which happens now annually. How is STEM learning, science, technology, engineering, and math, related to this growing community of makers? And what is the maker ethos? What's the educational value of it?
So maker fairs are, they're all about do-it-yourself creativity and innovation and invention. And at the heart of much of the work of makers is science and technology. So if you come out to the New York Hall of Science in September 29th and 30th of this year, you'll see over 500 makers who have created all sorts of interesting inventions, things that fly, things that you can drive, things you can pedal. There are 3D printers. There are all sorts of things. And one of the things that's been interesting to us since we've been hosting Maker Fair is that we've formed a relationship with the White House Office of Science Technology Policy to host a couple of education conferences to explore the connections between the maker movement and STEM education more broadly. And I think what the White House is interested in is, can we utilize this movement to kind of spur innovation in STEM education, both in school environments and in out-of-school environments?
And listeners, I'm curious, we just have a few minutes for this, but is anybody getting math and science education for your children out of school at after-school programs like they run at the Hall of Science or elsewhere because you feel the education in the schools is not adequate? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I'm just curious if anybody's in that boat. 212-433-9692 if you're getting math, science, engineering, technology lessons or after-school programs for your kids because you think they're not getting it in the meat and potatoes, maybe because of Race to the Top and No Child Left Behind focusing so much on English and math. Did you see the article in the New York Times on Sunday about how the U.S. lost out on iPhone work? The surprising takeaway seemed to be that work goes to China not just because labor is way cheaper, but also because Steve Jobs believed that they actually have a more skilled engineering labor force, that we don't have enough kind of the right kind of engineers here, even to do the factory work of assembling iPhones.
I did see that article, and I think Steve Jobs is pretty much right, and certainly among the people who sit on my board, many of whom are running some major technology companies, the challenge of finding quality engineering talent in this country is extreme. There was a report out recently by the Tony Carnevale Center at Georgetown, and one of the things that they document very clearly in that report is what people refer to as the kind of leaky pipeline. So the fact that while we may have kids majoring in science or engineering or computer science, they don't often end up working in those professions. So,
and especially women, right?
Right, exactly, especially women, yeah.
Let's get a couple of callers in here. Juliana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Juliana.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Real quick.
I have three children at Nest Plus M downtown, and they're in the elementary school level, and it never ceases to amaze me that despite the wonderful school they're in, technology is defined as computers, internet search, and typing. To me, technology is a spade. It's Leonardo da Vinci. It's anything that leverages power, human, horse, or otherwise, to create more effort. To me, computers are just that. They're one of the tools that we have. So to me, that's a very narrow definition of technology per se.
Thank you very much. And I think somewhat to that point, Michelle Obama gave a speech in which she said women today currently earn 41% of the PhDs in STEM fields, but make up only 28% of tenure-track faculty in those fields. Reducing the dropout rate of women in STEM careers is especially important because women in STEM jobs earn 33% more than those in non-STEM occupations. Lisa in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I'd like to tell your listeners about a wonderful program at NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark. It's a terrific summer academic program that is federally funded, less expensive than sending your child to camp. Both of my boys in middle school went there. It started about 45 years ago for girls only. So for girls, they can get in there as early as fourth grade. It's a summer program, and it offers exposure to computers and engineering. As a result of that exposure, I have a college son at Olin College of Engineering. He is totally into it, and because of that NJIT program. And my high school senior who goes to Columbia is interested in industrial design because he's part artistic and part math and science. And it was an unbelievable experience for both of my children. And it's a fabulous program. The schools don't really talk about it. You know, in grade school and middle school, it's really of parents to kind of hear about it. And you don't have to live in Newark to get it.
To get in, but it's in Newark. Lisa, thank you. Jan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. You run an after-school program to promote science?
Yes, I'm a coach for a First Lego League team. They're called Edison's Apostles. The kids are ages 10 to 12, and it's a part science project, part robot competition. And this year they came up with a solution to cure eggs from having salmonella. Using bacteriophages. It's a great way to get kids interested in science without feeling like they're actually doing a lot of work. And I'd like to just shout out, if people want to take a look at their First Lego League site, that would be great. They're up for innovation, Global Innovation Award.
Is it called the First Lego League because they actually use Legos?
Right. They build a Lego robot with a Mindstorm NXT robot, and they program it to go around a board that accomplishes different missions. And the theme this year is food safety, so they're accomplishing missions that have to do with food safety, but it's a very sophisticated robot. And there's three girls on the team and two boys on the team, and the girls are doing just as much work as the boys are doing, and they're just having a lot of fun.
Very cool. Jen, thank you very much. And Margaret Honey from the New York Hall of Science at Flushing Meadows Park. We could take these calls all day because, frankly, our phones completely got filled up as soon as I put out the call for parents who weren't satisfied with the science education and technology education that their kids are getting in school. We have about a minute and a half left. You convened at the Hall of Science a meeting of, I guess, some people who are doing things like Jen was just describing a couple of weeks ago, right?
Exactly, yes. We did that in collaboration with the White House Office of Science Technology Policy. And I think the what's important about what everybody was saying who called in is that there is a real appetite and hunger among parents and kids for these kinds of programs. And just to give you an example from the New York Hall of Science, we ran a program building off the theme of Maker Faire called Remake the Holidays. And we had, during the week the program ran, we had 10,000 students and their families come to NYSCI during that week. When we hold Maker Faire over the course of a weekend, 35,000 people show up to experience this. So there's hunger, interest, and lots of great programs happening at places like the New York Hall of Science, First Robotics, all over the place.
But we're not producing grown-ups who have the skills to make iPhones in this country, or at least Steve Jobs says. So there's a disconnect somewhere up along that chain, and we will see tonight if President Obama talks about this. Since the White House is interested in it, as we just heard from Martha Honey, President and CEO of the Margaret Honey, President and CEO of the New York Hall of Science. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.